Thank you for tuning into Soldiers of the Light Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ podcast with your host, Pastor Joe. Each episode will include a conversation style recording where Joe will include a realistic theological perspective to having a close desire and growing closer in allegiance to Jesus Christ and how he contributes his understanding of the Christian life of the world we live in today. Please keep in mind that the audio quality may vary since these podcasts are recorded on multiple devices. The Life's Lessons in Christ episodes are brought to you by Soldiers of the Light Ministries Productions Incorporated. Don't forget to subscribe and thanks again for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Soldier of the Light Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ. Today we're going to talk about sleeping in the harvest season. And then there's a couple scriptures that I'm going to touch base on, but one of the things that we need to understand is this. We have much work to do as believers. Now, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, it says this, "And when Jesus went through all the towns and village, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Now, may the Lord bless the reading of the word. Now, listen. One of the things that I've learned in life is this, that when we take God at his word and we understand the scriptures and what he is trying to say to us and meaningful to us, we have to have a level on. Listen, the scripture says, you want to talk about the title sleeping in the harvest season. It says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, "He that gathers in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame." Many parts of the world enjoys continuous harvest seasons, right? And what I mean by that, one can visit southern Florida, right? Portions of the Rio Grande Valley, southern California, or other tropical areas, and discover a continuous process of sowing and reaping. And an orange tree is a case in point. An orange tree may have blossoms that will produce oranges, while at the same time, it contains small oranges, half-grown oranges, and fully ripe oranges. The orange tree presents a parable of the fact that as Christians, we have a continuous harvest season in the spiritual realm. There is never a time when one can say that that due to bad weather or the season of the year, it is impossible to labor in the spiritual harvest fields. Now, listen. While the church, you know, one of the things I've learned is while the church should pray, right, and labor and live in anticipation of reaping a spiritual harvest from week to week, it is true that many churches today set aside specific times in the year to concentrate on reaping a harvest of souls for the glory and the kingdom of God. While others churches have abandoned this method for what is called a perennial program of evangelism. It would seem to me, listen, I've learned this, it would seem to me that this is not the case of either, right, or, but a matter of both and. We need to use every, I've learned in life that we need to use every legitimate means and method to bring people into a conversion experience with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I like the fact that when you looked at the scriptures and it says, when Jesus saw the multitude scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, he was moved with compassion toward them and said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, right? Now, when Jesus saw the Samaritans coming out of the city of Sychar, he said to his disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe to harvest. Now one of the greatest needs, you know, when I look at this and I begin to understand, one of the greatest needs of each modern day church today is to recognize that it is located right in the center of a spiritual harvest field. I don't care where you are. You can be in the country, you can be in the city, you can be in the suburbs, the rural areas, you can be in the remote part of the jungle in some remote part of the world. Every day modern church is to recognize that it is located right in the center of a spiritual harvest field where people are threatened with eternal death and separation from the God of grace, you know, unless laborers and individual believers and personal followers of Jesus Christ go out. That means we need to go out among these people with the story of God's love, of his desire to save. Now, listen, the words of the text speaks of commendation and a word of warning. It declares that he who labors in the time of harvest is indeed a wise son, but he who also sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Now, I ask you this question. Are you bringing shame to the heart of your Heavenly Father? Are you relating yourself to those about you in a manner that should bring shame to your own heart? The harvest must be reaped when it is ripe. Now listen, there's seed time and harvest time. It is a law of nature that before there can be a harvest, there must be a time of sowing and cultivation. You ever watch a farmer when they're out in their fields and they know that it's time to get busy in doing it? What's the first thing that you'll see them do? Many of us will see them in their tractors turning over the ground. Right. And then they fertilize the ground. And, you know, farmers will plow up and pulverize the soil. They will then plant the seed, and proper care will be given to the cultivation of the crops in order to reap, right, an abundant harvest, whether it be in the spring, summer, but mostly in the fall. Now, let's take that into the church. The church, through each of its members, should be in a continuous process of sowing seed of divine truth in the hearts and minds of men, women, and children. Careful and continuous efforts need to be put forth to cultivate the confidence and the friendship of these so that in due time, I like this. This blew my mind when I wrote this down. As the Holy Spirit works conviction into the heart, they can be ready for the harvest. Now, some might say, well, Pastor Joe, that's not my calling to reap the harvest. Oh, yes, it is. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28, right? 28, I'm going to read from verse 16 through 20. This is what he said. This is what the word says. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, he said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go. Go. It's the church job. It's we as believers, the church, through each of its members, right? Should be in a continuous process of sowing the seed of divine truth into the hearts and minds of men and women and children. Careful and continuous efforts it needs to be put forth, right, to cultivate. Now, those who have experienced have an experience in attempting to lead people to trust Jesus Christ as Savior has discovered that it takes time, right, or a long time for some people to become what some have called ripe prospects for conversion. You know, it might take a family member years, but you hope not. You know, it might take that coworker a long time to watch you be a witness for Christ on the job before they'll say, hey, I'm watching God work in this person. Now I believe. Now listen. One of the things that, we need to understand is this. To attempt to persuade one of these is to make a profession of faith before he or she is prepared in both mind and heart to experience the same result that a farmer would experience if he tried to harvest, right? Tries to harvest his corn while it was still green, or pick his cotton before the boils, right? Before the bolls open up, or gather peaches while they are still hard and green. Then listen, seed time and harvest time. Now the harvest time. While it is true that there's a time to sow and a time to cultivate, there is also a time to reap. To neglect the harvest in time of reaping, right, is to waste all of the previous effort put forth. It is a law of nature that the fruit or grain or vegetables must be harvested when they are ripe or mature. Cotton will lose its weight and color and quality if it is not picked at the proper time. Corn will fall over and rot if it's not harvested before the winter winds and rains come. The golden yellow wheat fields will turn white and will soon rot if not harvested. Peaches, apples, berries, right, and grapes will fall off from the tree or vine or rot on the ground if they're not harvested. It is also a spiritual law that the souls of men and women will perish in unbelief unless someone gives them the message of God's redeeming love and his desire to save. The harvest time is now, y'all. We must not be guilty of saying, therefore, right? When the scripture says, therefore, there are ye yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. While there may be some to whom we have been witnessing that are not ready or ripe, this does not mean that there are not some who is just waiting for someone to encourage them to relate themselves to God in repentance and faith. Now listen, a study of the life of Jesus will reveal that he urged upon both himself and his disciples the urgency of the present, right? And never did Jesus encourage either his followers or those who were considering becoming his followers to wait until tomorrow. He always present the moment at the present moment, at the present time. The Apostle Paul was ready to preach the gospel at every opportunity, for he recognized that people are lost now and need a Savior, right? Now, in words that have often been quoted to the unsaved as an encouragement to trust Christ in the present, Paul was actually seeking to persuade the church to engage in redemptive activity. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He is thus declaring that God is ready right now to save those who will come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. These words were actually intended to encourage the Christians at Corinth to get out in the harvest field and do their work as laborers for the Lord. We need to do the work as laborers for the Lord. Now, sleeping in the harvest time results in shame, right? The words of the context contains a stinging, when I read that, it contains a stinging rebuke for the farmer's son who would idly and carelessly sleep away his day of opportunity during the harvest season. These words contain a stinging rebuke, not only for the average church member, right? But also for many of us as pastors and leaders and laypersons. Shame to the father. A good farmer, right? As good farmers would be ashamed of a son who idled his time away during the harvest season and let the crops waste. So we must bring shame to the heart of our Heavenly Father. Wow. This blew my mind when I thought about this and I had to write this down. We must bring shame to the heart of our Heavenly Father when we spend our days in idleness. Perhaps, I can use myself as an example. Some of us are like Jonah, right? Who slept the sleep of disobedience when we should have been on our way. Just like he was, when he should have been on his way to Nineveh, right? Perhaps some of us are sleeping the sleep of weariness or indifferences like Peter and the apostles on the night before our Lord was crucified. Now, with that comes shame to the son. The son of a farmer should be ashamed of his conduct if he sleeps through the time of harvest. We, as individual church members, the Lord's labor force should be ashamed of our conduct if we are asleep on the job as far as witnessing to the unsaved is concerned. Now, an analogy is this. A missionary in a South American country entered a city of considerable size with the knowledge that there was no known evangelist congregation in the entire city. As he drove down the street, he was shamed by the signs in the windows advertising American products. He felt pain in his heart as he considered that people selling their products had arrived in the city before missionaries. Someone had been asleep on the job. Many of us today are asleep on the job. How can we know when we are asleep spiritually? One can be asleep and not know it. I've learned that there are many different theories as to what sleep is and why we sleep. It is recognized by all as one of the necessities of our continued existence. For one to want to sleep all the time is unnatural and usually indicates, now listen, let's get an understanding. If you want to sleep all the time, it usually can indicate a serious illness. It is possible that some of us are suffering from spiritual sleeping sickness. And without attempting to explain the theory behind the nature or the necessity of sleep, we will simply affirm that when people are asleep, they do not respond to people around them. Those who are asleep do not use their eyes. Think about it. Now, I want to ask you this. Are you blind or asleep to the fact of God's great love for all people? Are you blind or asleep to the fact that God wants to use you to communicate the message of his love to the lost and a needy world? Are you blind or asleep to the fact that the unsaved about us needs to know Jesus Christ more than they need anything else in this world? Those who are asleep do not use their ears. While it is true that a loud noise will normally awaken those, you know, who are asleep, some have adjusted themselves to going to sleep in the midst of much noise. Are you deaf? Or are you asleep so that you cannot hear the distress calls of the unsaved about you? Think about that. Those who are asleep are unresponsive to the stimuli. They're in a state of unconsciousness where I've learned that some that where they are not alert to what has happened. Some of us may be making little response to our personal responsibility to be witnesses. Listen, y'all, we seem to be unconscious of the damage to which the unsaved are exposed. We seem to be unconvinced of the power of the gospel that's inside of us. We seem to be unmoved by the greatness of God's love for the unsaved about us. Paul wrote to the Ephesians a message that speaks to us today. Awake, thou that sleepest. Now, I leave you with this. There is no question that the church today should be awakened from its sleep and go to work in the harvest field that are white unto the harvest. All of us must confess that we have been guilty of sleeping on the job. Soldiers have been court-martialed for going to sleep at their post of duty. Ours also have been a serious offense. We would also say that those among us who continue to neglect to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, awake thou that sleepest. You need to awake your spirit, your sinful condition, and to your need for forgiveness. You need to awake to the certain fact of coming judgment if we continue right, to neglect to make peace with God. You need to wait to the provisions of God's mercy revealed through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. You need to awake and recognize that the simple way of salvation is through faith in this Christ who conquered death and the grave and who stands at your heart's door knocking for entrance. Listen, y'all, he will give you life and light and love if you will let him come into your heart. Now, my prayer is this. My prayer is that all who listen, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't, listen, the Bible says there's only one way to heaven, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That means this. No one else can save you but Jesus Christ. And what we have to do is this. We have to admit that we are a sinner, be willing to turn away from sin, which is to repent, believe that Jesus Christ died for you and was buried and rose from the dead. And through prayer, you can invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Joe, I don't know what to pray. Okay, well, that's simple. What to pray? Pray this. Dear God, thank you for showing me what you think about my life and everything that I've done in life. I am a sinner and I reject it. I accept Christ's sacrifice as perfect and complete. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life and I place my trust in him alone for my salvation. Thank you for giving me eternal life right now in Jesus' name. Now, if you did accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your answer was yes, then this is just the beginning of a wonderful new life with Christ. And I encourage you to do this. Read your Bible every day to get to know Christ better. Pray to God every day in your own words and be baptized. Worship and fellowship and serve with other Christians in a church where Christ is preached and the Bible is the final authority. And then last but not least, tell others, because it's harvest time, tell others about Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for your word. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you bless your people. And I pray, Father God, that yes, we would answer the call of seed time and harvest. And that, Father God, you would prepare us to harvest those, Lord God, that don't know you. Harvest those, Lord God, and teach them and show them the way that Jesus Christ is the only way. Your word says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, help us to step up. Help us to step up to reap in spiritual, that spiritual harvest. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around my friends and family. Lord, I pray that you would keep them in perfect peace and let them have a blessed day. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. I pray. Amen. God bless you. Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Soldier Lights Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ. Hey, do me a favor. Subscribe to the podcast, and I'm pretty sure once you subscribe, it goes as a blessing to the ministry, and it helps the ministry grow to where God can meet the needs of the people. Thanks again. God bless you, and I'll see you next time. Take care.